For those of you that have met me before, and for those of you that haven't met me, I'm Skip. But our son is William, and I'm actually William, so you know I don't want you to get confused. Good afternoon, brethren. You know, it's Thanksgiving. Have any of you ever heard a message on the Sabbath after Thanksgiving that did not mention being thankful? I've heard one or two in 48 years, but not very many. But I want you to know today I am going to speak about being thankful. So don't look for any strange things. To put a finer point on that idea, when we say to our Father in heaven or our elder brother Jesus, when we say thank you, you know, they acknowledge that, they hear that. But is that good enough? And what I want to say right at the beginning is, if that's all we ever do is tell them or even our friends thank you, I don't think that that's enough. Let's begin by asking a kind of silly question. What has God given you? Anything? You know, has God, the Father in heaven, given you anything? Maybe it's not so silly after all. Maybe you or I feel like we've been given too little. You know, maybe. Let me just say that it's a beautiful building that I find myself in, the building that we've been meeting in San Diego. It's not quite as beautiful as this. As a matter of fact, the last couple of weeks, you know where we met? We met outside. And actually, we had better messages and better reception, and people were happier out in the air. I don't know if it was the air coming in or the air going out or whatever it was really good. It was good to meet outside. But I have a genetic family, two kids, both of whom attend services. That's a blessing. Not all of you do. Not all of you have extended families that attend services, but I mean that's something to really be grateful for. On the other hand, we are a family. We have a family, even if you don't have anybody in your genetic, I think that's the way they call it. They used to call it something else. I was told I should call it genetic. Anyway, even if you don't have anybody in your blood family or whatever it is, we do have family connection being in the family of God. That's something that we could probably acknowledge every single day to our Father in heaven and our elder brother. What about stuff? The world that I live in, some people have more stuff, some people have less stuff, but I know that Mr. Knudsen's been to Africa a few times. Susanna and I have only been there once. We got to visit three congregations, but I noticed that the stuff that the people have in Africa is different than the stuff that I have in San Diego. I have more stuff than they have. And yet, I can't say that I'm any happier or sadder, you know, either way, than they were. But as a point of reference, we visited only three congregations, but one of the guys, in one of the congregations, I asked him, because we'd been talking, how much money he made, and you know, then we had to translate to see what money was. But when it worked out, after I thought about it, he said that his family of, I think it was four people, that was a small African family, four people, two two adults and two kids. He made the equivalent of $400 a year. Now, he had a couple of acres that they grew a little bit of stuff on, but they were content and happy and satisfied and thank God regularly for what they had. I thought, 400 bucks? I've had several jobs. I made 400 bucks in a day, you know. Where'd it go? Well, you know, not that I'm complaining, but when you compare, you have to compare things. So anyway, I'm going to get to something that I think we all have in common. Wanted to read 1 Timothy 6:8 in the New Living Translation. And I'm going to be using the New Living Translation quite a bit today. I've noticed that United Church of God's been using it more and more recently on Beyond Today and various things. So anyway, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8 says, "So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content." Let us be content. Why? Why do we want to be content? And then skipping over verse 9, but picking up at verse 10, it says, "Because the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And some people, craving money, have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many arrows." So you can get confused sometimes. When I got married, it's a long time ago, almost 50 years. But anyway, talked it over with my wife. She's sitting in the back there, and we decided that we needed a little bit of money. So, Skip, you need to work. See, at the time, I had, you know, kind of part-time jobs, and I was happy-go-lucky, kind of wastrel, and what did I care about stuff? But she had a good job. She was a teacher, you know, she was a professional. And so after a while, and I want you to know, it took a couple of years, finally I became a professional, hauling in the big bucks. Well, actually, not much, but over time that grew, and we were able to, you know, move along. Now, I don't know if things are the same anymore. I honestly don't. But I'm going to get to that later, so I better stop talking to you and go back to my notes. How about health and happiness? Because that shouldn't be something that is only material. But I know that in this congregation, some of you, in fact, all of you, have felt death. It's happened in this congregation the same as it's happened in San Diego, that we get old, sometimes we get sick, and we die. And I know that you've experienced death recently. But the Bible also tells us not to fear death, because we know that there's something better down the road. Death is the last enemy to be defeated. Paul tells us that in 1 Corinthians 15:26. You don't have to turn there, but in case you want to check that later on. If death is the last enemy to be defeated, that must mean there are other enemies along the way to be defeated. But the last one, and a significant one, is death. But we, brethren, have been given the understanding that death, although the end in this physical life, is not going to be the end forever and ever. And in the world's churches, they confuse those issues. And I don't want to get into that. That's not the point. Today, we can talk about it afterwards if you want to. That knowledge, though, is very valuable. And when you think about it, when I think about it, I think that that may be the thing that I'm most thankful for. The understanding that I've been given that's just a little bit different than the typical understanding of people in the world. They're no different than we are, except for a very small thing that is important. But I want you to think of this as we go on now. What is that knowledge worth? That special knowledge that perhaps you have? I think it's worth much. Which gets me to the point that I really want to make. Physical blessings are good. It's nice to have physical blessings, and I think the Apostle Paul says they're not to be despised, but they're not real. They're not our real enduring hope. So what is the one real enduring hope that we all, I think, have? What's the thing that we should be most thankful for? Well, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians and read several important verses. Now, I'm actually going to turn to 1 Thessalonians, and I realized that the Bible that I brought, because I told you I was going to read out of the New Living Translation, does not have as big a print as my New King James, which I can read easily from here. And then I forgot my glasses, and I'm looking at people who have glasses on. I had got a nice new pair of reading glasses. So if I stumble, you know, just laugh and go, ah, that's funny, read that funny. So anyway, we're going to read 1 Thessalonians and did I write down the chapter? Verse 2, okay. 1 Thessalonians, let's go. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2, it says, we always thank God, it's good, yeah, this is the one I wanted. We always thank God for all of you and pray for you constantly. So here's Paul talking to Thessalonians. The first thing he thanks them for is them. I'm thanking you. Thank you for being here. You're listening to me, you know? You're here. You haven't run away. We're in a nice building. It's called the temple. I know it's not the real temple. And I mentioned, this is a really nice place. I said that to our son. He said, no, Dad, you are the temple. And I went, okay. We are the temple of God. I understand that, but okay. So, we thank you. This is Paul and Silas. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, PST. Paul, Silas, and Timothy are this kind of a congregational letter. We always thank God for all of you, and we pray for you constantly. As we pray to our God and Father about you, we think of your faithful work. Now, Paul was, Paul... Silas and Timothy were writing to those people in Thessalonica, but I'm saying it to you. Your faithful work. I mean it. You haven't quit. I can say I haven't quit yet. Now, you know, there's always tomorrow. Maybe I'll quit after 48 years. You know, I'll quit, hang it up. But chances are, I probably won't after 48 years, and the road has not always been smooth. You know, it's bumpy, you know, now and then. Paul was looking at those people in Thessalonica and telling them, don't quit. But he said it in a really nice way. He said, I'm thankful you're here. I really am. I'm thankful that you're here. Continuing on. As we pray to our God and Father about you, we think of your faithful work and your loving deeds. So it wasn't just that they were there. They didn't just sit there. You are sitting there. Thank you very much. Don't throw anything at me. But they didn't just sit there. They worked during the week. They did things. Loving deeds were real. Your loving deeds and the enduring hope you have because of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus, first they were called and chosen by God, and both the Father and the Son opened their minds to the potential that they had, and then they got to work at whatever it was, and we'll get into that later on. Okay. Let me see if I did all that. Yeah, that's probably good enough. You know what happens when I see people and they don't throw rocks at me or anything? I start being happy and I just start talking. I get off the point and my wife will go, get back to the point, you know. Or you'll never finish. Oh, okay. You know, some of us sort of thought that the Father should have sent Jesus back a long time ago, at least before COVID, you know, or at the beginning of COVID. He should have sent Jesus back then. Things are really bad. I don't like this, Father. Horrible. Why don't you get the, but he didn't. I mean, it is a pain to sing in a mask. So I noticed that a lot of you were not singing in your mask. So I took my mask off and I was singing. Sometimes you have to sing in a mask depending on what area you're in, and sometimes you don't have to. When in San Diego, when we came out of the building and we met outside, we didn't have to do that. But when we went inside, we had, you know, different rules, different places. I want to go to 1 Thessalonians, is it 1, verse 3? Oh, yes, where it said the word, I think, was, oh, and your enduring hope. I don't know what the translation says in the New King James, but in the New Living Translation, it says enduring hope. In other words, you guys come here every Sabbath, and you go to other places, like we went to Montana for the feast. You know, you go to different places. But when you do it over and over and over again, that means you're enduring. Oh, wait a minute. That's right. What does the word enduring mean? I was an English teacher. Oh, that means you put up with it even when it's not always fun. That's what enduring is. I remember Peter said something about that too. Anyway, want to move right along. Does God, that we said thank you to, does God admire you coming and staying and enduring? Does God admire your patient enduring? And do you even have patience, endurance? Well, we'll see. Paul, in this epistle, implies that their patient endurance showed that they had faith. I think that if you don't endure patiently, you know, God might question your faith. And because faith is a gift of God and we need to pray and ask for more of it, that's something that we need to do every day. But faith is kind of hard to see. I know that you have a certain amount of faith because you're here. I have a certain amount of faith because I'm here. But I want to say again, faith is hard to see, but what about works? You know, there's a question, people argue this all the time. Do you have faith? Do you have works? I'll show you my faith by my works. I remember one of our good guys said that. But what were the kind of works that he was talking about? And this gets a little bit more interesting. Let's go down to 1 Thessalonians verse 5. I skipped over 4, but that's okay. Let's go to verse 5. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 5, for when we brought you the good news, Paul speaking to the Thessalonians, when we brought you the good news, it was not only with words, but also with power, for the Holy Spirit gives you full assurance that what we said was true, and you know of our concern for you from the way we lived when we were with you. So what did Paul do when he was with the Thessalonians? I mean, he's saying, you knew, he's talking to them, he's saying, you knew that when I was with you, I was telling you the truth by the way that I lived. Well, what did Paul do when he was with them? That's kind of the question. And I want to say, you know, turning away from my notes for a second, one of the things that Paul did while he was with the Thessalonians, what was Paul's trade? Tent maker? Is that what you said? Yeah, he's a tent maker. He worked with leather and he built tents, you know. He worked with his hands when he was with the Thessalonians. And he said, and I won't turn there because I forget where it is, but he said that he did that so that he wouldn't have to use all of the tithe money that they gave. He didn't want to be a burden to them when he was preaching to them the truth. And it's something that struck me because when Susanna and I came into the San Diego church, most of the people were in the trades. Very few professionals. There were a few professionals, but most of the people were in the trades. And so for the first 4 or 5 years that I worked there before I became a highly paid teacher, I worked for all the different guys in the church that had trades. Painted, I moved lumber, I dug ditches, I did all sorts of things, which was good. And Paul was saying, excuse me, wipe my nose if I have my handkerchief. Do I have my handkerchief? Let me try another pocket. Different pants. Oh, there we go. Thank you. Excuse me. Thank you for being with me. But Paul did not want to be a burden to the people that he was preaching to, so he actually had, we call it a day job, but, you know, he knew how to work. And it's important. I don't know if I'll get to that point. Well, I think it's in my notes, but one of the scriptures said, if you won't work, neither should you eat. You know, so it's sort of important. It's sort of important to work. Okay. Let me read my notes here just a little bit. We can explain a more modern way by saying, you Thessalonians, you could see the working of God's Holy Spirit in us. This is Paul and Silas and Timothy speaking. You could see it working in us by what we, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, did while we were with you. So it wasn't just Paul preaching on the Sabbath, but he also had a life during the week, and the people in Thessalonica, Thessalonia, love those words, but I don't know how to say them. They could see by the way those guys, those three men were living, that they actually believed what they preached. So let's ask us, what did Paul, Silas, and Timothy do when they were in Thessalonica? Well, they preached the truth, that's true. Preaching is somewhat of work. And what they preached, they practiced. Those three guys condemned the pagan, worthless things that they saw in that part of the world. And they continued to promote the God of the Bible. They preached that Jesus was God. That was a kind of a new thought, even to the Jews. They preached that Jesus was God, he was killed, he was resurrected, and one of the important messages of Thessalonians was he's going to return as king and take over the world. It's kind of a neat thought. And those three went through hardships together in bringing this good news to those people. Those three preached, and I know that we have the letter of Paul, but if you look at the beginning of the letter, it says Paul, Silas, and Timothy. You know, So all three of them were included in the letter, although Paul signs it with his big letters at the end. Now I want to go to 1 Thessalonians and start reading in verse 5. Hope this is the right place. And I'll read 5 through 10 because I think it goes together and it sounds pretty good. 1 Thessalonians, what did I say? Chapter 1, verse 5. Hope this is the right place. And the reason why I keep saying that is because I was going from my New King James to the New Living Translation. Anyway. Verse 5, for when we brought you the good news, it was not only with words, but also with power, for the Holy Spirit gave you full assurance that what we said was true, and you know of our concern for you from the way we lived when we were with you. So you received the message with joy from the Holy Spirit, not just Paul, but from the Holy Spirit, in spite of the severe suffering it brought you. It's not explained exactly why his preaching to them brought them pain, but it did. In this way, you imitated both us and the Lord. As a result, you have become an example to all the believers in Greece throughout both Macedonia and Achaia. And now the word of the Lord is ringing out from you to people everywhere, even beyond Macedonia and Achaia. For wherever we go, we find people telling us about your faith in God. We don't need to tell them about it, for they keep talking about the wonderful welcome you gave us and how you turned away from idols to serve the living God. It's important. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 2 and read a couple of verses there. 1 Thessalonians 2, and just two verses, 11 and 12. 1 Thessalonians 2, 11, and you know that we treated each of you as a father treats his own children. We pleaded with you, encouraged you, and urged you to live your lives in a way that God would consider worthy. For he called you to share in his kingdom and glory. I have to break out of that for a second and say, we're now children of God, but we're not in that glorious kingdom yet. I mean, it's really nice here. I'm not complaining about where I am. But we're not in God's glorious kingdom yet. We're just not. Paul thanked God by what he did. That was the point I was trying to make. Paul thanked God by what he did, not just by what he said. So it's good for us to say thank you, Father in heaven, but we should show God that we're thankful by what we do too. So what do we do? Well, we pray and study first. I think you guys probably heard that before. We pray and study first, but also we come to services every opportunity that we can. We come to Bible studies when they're offered. I have to say this because now I am one of them, but I remember when we first came to services in San Diego, I had not heard the Bible preached before because I used to be a Catholic. They didn't preach the Bible. They said it was a good book and even got time off in purgatory if you read it, but don't look at it too much because I'm the priest, and I will help you know everything that you need to know. I had never read the Bible. And when I read it, I went, this is amazing. It makes sense. So now I read the Bible. So you need to read the Bible, and if you do, you're doing the right thing. Is that enough? You come to services and you read the Bible, you pray. Is that enough? No, it's not. What did I made the point that Paul did something when he was in Thessalonica. When he was there, he actually worked a job. He worked a job during the week, came to services on the Sabbath, and he preached. I think that we can probably do the same thing. And when we're here, there were people, there's somebody that set up that camera, somebody that set up the sound system, somebody played the piano. There are people that do all sorts of things. If they were not doing those things, we would not have an enjoyable time. Okay, can I tell you one story? Don't want to talk too many stories. My wife will say, well, you've already been up there. Let's see, how long? The first potluck that I came to, it was in a rented hall. It wasn't a building like this. It was in a rented hall, and I noticed that they moved the chairs, and then they had two brooms. And I saw there were two brooms. I don't know if that's a broom over there. But anyway, one guy picked up a broom, and he started pushing it. And I had been in the service. I knew how to push a broom. So I went and grabbed a broom, and I started to push it. And this guy came over to me. I don't know if he was just an older member of the congregation or a deacon or a minister. I don't know what he was. But he said, and he grabbed the broom from my hand, and he said, in the Church of God, it's an honor to be able to do work. I gave him the broom. I said, well, go honor somebody, you know. But I was new, you know. I didn't understand what he meant. I didn't understand, but it is an honor to be able to work in the Church of God. He meant it, and I have since learned about that. And I got to push the broom several times after that. But it took a while. Paul, Silas, and Timothy often reiterated basic truths that we have all heard before. Some of us have heard these things so many times that we could say, I could say it better. You know what? Maybe you should. You know how to check that out? You run it by who's ever in charge. You come to the person individually on your own and say, I have an idea about something that I think perhaps would be good to talk about. And you talk it over with the pastor, you know, and he'll let you know whether that's a good idea or not. Not wrong to do that. But it's also good to be under authority. Really a good idea to be under authority. Getting toward the end here. Nobody in their right mind would say that COVID is good. Nobody would say that COVID is good. Some people come up with, it's worse than I thought about, you know, say it's a plot and a plan, but I think it's a plot and a plan by Satan. I want you to think about there was a flood, Babylon, and Rome. All of those were bad things, and yet God used them all to make God, both Father and Son, make their plan work out. I'm sure that God has the ability to make COVID work out too. I want to cut to the conclusion. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. And it was at this point in writing my notes that I realized that I could write with a bigger font. And so I'm going to read it right off this piece of paper. 1 Corinthians 12, starting at verse 4. 1 Corinthians 12, starting at verse 4, New Living Translation. It says, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives faith to one, to another, and to someone else, the gift of healing. God gives one person the power to, and here I wanted to make a change just a little bit. God gives one person the power to perform simple acts of kindness. I wanted to say that because when we come to services, there are certain things that need to be done, but also a simple act of kindness, and I'm learning this at home, I'm learning this at other people's homes, is to listen to other people talk to me and to listen more accurately. It's a simple act of kindness. And Paul is saying to the Corinthians here that if you do listen to other people talk to you without interrupting them, I never point at anybody when I'm speaking except myself, who is the biggest offender in any particular area. But when people talk to you, you need to listen to them, you know? And sometimes, as I've been informed, just listen. Just listen. But it is the one and only Spirit of God that distributes all these gifts. And I'll stop there. What's my point? My point, the main point of the message simply is that we show thanksgiving to God in a variety of ways. We show thanksgiving to other people in a variety of ways by using the abilities that God gave us to help other people. Okay, now, I'm almost finished, but how do we say thank you to our Father in heaven and our elder brother, Jesus Christ? Well, it's a Sabbath. Today is the Sabbath. We come to Sabbath services. Why do we come to Sabbath services? Well, primarily because we read in God's word that the Sabbath is a day for congregational worship. This is a Jewish place. Where are all the Jews? They're supposed to be here. Oh, they came last night. That's what somebody told me. Is that true? They came last night. Okay. I'm not casting aspersions at anybody, but when I realized it was a Jewish temple, we have a Jewish synagogue in the area where we live in San Diego. And on the Sabbath, I'll see people walking to services right there, you know, because it's very close to where we live. Anyway, talk about it. Praise God because you understand that the Sabbath is a day for congregational worship. Are the holy days an outline of the plan of God? Are they? I think they are. I think the biggest thing that I learned when I came into God's church was that the holy days explain the plan of God in a thumbnail way. It took me 2 years, personally, of keeping them before I really understood them. But after 2 or 3 years of keeping them, I went, wow. And it's right there in the Bible, Leviticus 23. It's all... And I went, Leviticus? I never read Leviticus. I had never even heard of Leviticus before, you know, in the Catholic Church. And the thing that goes along with that is if you know something, it's neat to be able to share it with people that want to hear. If they don't want to hear, don't share it to them until they want to hear, you know, because they won't listen anyway. I didn't listen anyway. But when I wanted to hear, then God kind of opened my mind and I heard exactly what God wanted me to say. Be thankful that you understand the plan of God. I can't think of anything more important. If what we have been taught is true, and I fervently believe that it is, if what we've been taught is true, then these few but important items of doctrine, the Sabbath and the holy days, are living truth, and among many more like them, which we demonstrate to the world by participating in them. If you don't really participate, then maybe you don't really believe. Why is that important? Well, if you go all the way to the last one of the holy days that we kept, the eighth day of the feast, that's shooting forward in time to when we, we will be teaching literally millions, if not billions of people the same truths, if you really believe that there's true, that they are true. When you actively engage in discussions among yourselves about those wonderful truths, they become then more real to you. So, in conclusion, how do you and I show God, perhaps, that we're thankful? Well, we show people that we're thankful by how we treat them, by how we share the various jobs to do in the various congregations that we're a part of. But we show God that we're thankful by how we practice what we've been taught. And I want to thank Mr. Knudsen for allowing me to come and speak with you guys today, and hope to talk with many more of you afterwards.